There was a time when school board meetings were calm, lightly attended events where school issues were discussed and moved forward. That certainly has changed, hasn't it? That change has literally and figuratively placed school board members in the crosshairs of people, making threats against the health and even life of school board members. My next guest joins us to examine all this and how it's being responded to. He is Executive Director of the American Association of School Administrators, Dan Domenech. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Chris.
For the edification of the person listening, I just want to give a couple of examples of what we're talking about here and the parameters of how they span here. We turned to New Jersey recently. Hackensack police had to respond to threatening letters sent to school board members, two of them. They include photos of their faces and the crosshairs of a gun, blood dripping from bullet holes in their foreheads, with the mailing saying, "You will be taken out by vote or by force." Then we go over to Luray, Virginia, a woman who was upset about mask mandates. At the school board meeting, face-to-face, said she would, quote, bring every single gun loaded and ready to school. Her name's Amelia King. She did email an apology to board members, said she was speaking figuratively and in no way meant to imply she would bring firearms to a school. And this is not what school board members signed up for, is it?
It is not. And let me say that it's not only school board members. It's superintendents as well, which is the group that I represent at the national level. The number of threats and the violence that we have seen over the past 2 years, and it seems to be increasing, has just created a tremendous amount of stress and a situation that we have never, ever seen, certainly not at school board meetings and certainly not involving the education community.
And when you talk about school administrators, too, these are people who, a good part of them, have been in the system for a while. They've advanced to that point in their respective careers, which means, you know, they've got a lot of years in and there's that pension sitting there. Why would they want to stay and tolerate this when they could pull the pension?
Exactly. And they're not. And so what we're seeing is an exodus of superintendents like we've never seen before. They're doing exactly that, Chris. They're saying it's not so much that they're being threatened, because that's part of the job. It's a very stressful job being a school superintendent. But when it's their family that's being threatened, when they require police protection around their home to protect their family, when their children that are attending schools are being threatened and in some cases attacked, that's when it becomes too much. And that's when they decide, I didn't sign up for this, and they're leaving. And that's going to create some major issues in the education community.
When you look at the school board, too, it's relatively easy, and I assume it's made easy because communities wanted the school boards to be fully occupied. For New Jersey, for example, it takes 10 signatures to get on the ballot to run for your local school board, and you could be one of those 10, which makes me wonder, as this is furthering rather than subsiding, are some of these, I'll be kind and say, overly emotional people, will they wind up infiltrating the school boards and making what we're seeing now a permanent fixture?
They indeed are. And we're seeing it all over the country. It's where school board members are being recalled, where a lot of money is appearing out of we don't know exactly where to support members running against sitting boards, and basically the takeover of school board members community by community. And again, that portends major issues. One of them, is separate from the pandemic over the wearing of masks or the getting vaccinated or being in school in person or remote, is the issue of the critical race theory, which is, by all information that we have, a frontal attack against the whole issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we're seeing, as board members are taking over boards, by the way, that's another way that superintendents are leaving the profession, not willingly, but they're being then fired by the new board members to be replaced by individuals of their ilk, their way of thought, and beginning to bring about changes in the curriculum. We're seeing a pattern that we never thought we'd see in this country, basically paralleling book burning as libraries are being culled for books that are found to be objectionable and removed. It's just an attack on education and democracy like we've never seen.
So Dan Domenech, who is Executive Director of the American Association of School Administrators, AASA.org is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned some of the catalysts for some of these outbursts, too. And it's not like they're not getting upset about school violence. They're not getting upset about poor-performing teachers. And you mentioned critical race theory. That's become now as vague as teaching Martin Luther King or the story of Olympian Jesse Owens.
Exactly. The interesting fact is when you ask people that object to it what it is, they don't know. And I can tell you, I've been in this business for over 50 years. I never heard of critical race theory. It's nothing that's in the curriculum or ever been taught. So it is a ploy, and it is being effective. It is bringing about the replacement of board members that are there to serve the students by individuals that are there just to change the culture. And that's a scary process.
So what's your organization's message been to school administrators? Because you don't want to shut down public access to the meetings, although some of these meetings are being infiltrated by people who either don't have kids in the district or people who don't even live in the district. So what is the option? I mean, Zoom is an easy outlet. You can make it all virtual and solve the problem, but you don't want to lose that contact with the parents that actually care about this.
And that's the point, exactly. The parents that care about this. All of our surveys, including just the most recent one, show that better than 70%, anywhere between 75% and 78% of parents love their neighborhood school. They love their teachers. They love the education that their kids are getting. So it's important that we rally the parents in those communities, the one that understand firsthand what the school does for their children, and have them be the ones that are participate and engage in these processes. And when people come from the outside, for them to put up their hands and say, you don't live in this community. You don't represent us. And certainly the people that you're urging and financing to run for the school board with these ideas are not the kind of things that we want. I think it has to be a grassroots effort in America where parents stand up to protect and rally for the public schools in America. 90% of the children in America attend a public school, 90%. So it's an incredible force out there. And we need to rally that force.
And if a parent has a problem with a particular school district or any element of it, every year there's a week called National School Choice Week. Every state has a lot of options to educate your child.
Exactly. And if you want to exercise that option, by all means do so. And engage the public. I don't think in any way are we suggesting that there shouldn't be a voice, that there shouldn't be the opportunity to criticize or the opportunity to bring in new ideas. But it needs to be done in a civil way, not by threats and certainly not by violence.
I mentioned in the intro school board meetings until recently have been, well, traditionally sparsely attended. So I might be thinking a weird path to maybe a positive route, but can some good actually come out of this and result in, without the anger and the threats, obviously, but higher attendance at school board meetings?
It could be. The other option, too, is that the school board meeting is a business meeting, really. It's not really the place to have these kinds of discussions. The thing to do is for school boards to begin having opportunities for community engagement at functions that are other than the school board meeting itself, where the school board is there, the superintendent is there, the staff is there, the community is invited to come in and discuss these issues in a civilized way. And I think that is more productive than the board meeting situation.
And certainly as a resident, a legitimate resident of a school district, it's your money that's funding the school district. So that's the connection and the avenue by which one side is aware of what the other is doing, and there's a communication that keeps things straight and balanced, fair and open. That's the whole purpose of what the school boards and their meetings are supposed to be about, not the sideshows that we see more and more frequently on the nightly newscasts or segments on cable news networks. It's, just think about this, parents. When you go home after your school meeting, when you get released out of jail after getting apprehended, whatever the case may be, and your kid says to you, Mom, Dad, you're embarrassing me, that's got to be a wake-up call right there. But that's what we're seeing more and more and more. And law enforcement's involved. It takes away from their work and their duties as well. It's just an unnecessary event that has to be extinguished, and hopefully time will bring about wisdom in all of this. Learn more about the American Association of School Administrators, AASA.org. We've been joined by their executive director, Dan Dominich. Dan, thanks so much for your insight today.
Thank you very much, Chris. Great to be with you.